Things been rolling over in my heart for a number of days. I brought a message recently, probably, I don't know if I brought two even, from the 91st Psalm, and it's such a powerful portion of God's Word. But there's a part of the 91st Psalm, I want to take another look at Psalms 91, if you will, Psalms 91. If you turn in your Bibles to Psalms 91, all of it's good, but especially verses 14, 15, and 16 will be the verses that we will look to today. I personally think that it is some of the most important truth that I have ever ministered and perhaps that you've ever heard. You know, there's a lot of thoughts and themes and this and buzzwords and this, that, and the other, and they're all scriptural. They're all good. But this is the top of the list. This is the top of the mountain. Psalms 91, verses 14 through 16. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore, because he has set his love upon me, therefore, will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him, and with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. I'd like to minister this morning on the power of loving God. The power of loving God. And the emphasis, hopefully, will be on loving God more for who he is than what he does for us. To be sure, his benefits to us are beyond expression. But because the promise is here, because we have set our love on him, because, therefore, and I'd like to deal with what follows, therefore. Hopefully we'll touch all of it. We've talked to you about abiding in the secret place. When we ministered on Psalms 91, we talked about he that dwelleth in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We've talked about what you say makes your day. What you say makes your day, it makes your hour, it could make your moment. One thing that I've rediscovered about Psalms 91 is that God is a constant. We're not always a constant. Sometimes we move around a little bit. We're a moving target. But God is a constant because his word says, surely. Surely, you always know his address. You always know where he's coming from. There's no doubt about the fact that God loves you, period. Surely. And then we go back to where we hide and where we abide. We hide in some strange places. Some of us have gotten in trouble over the years because we hid in the wrong place. We hung out in the wrong place. Many a person, unfortunately, serving time because they were at the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people. So we want to abide in that secret place, the Most High. But where my focus is this morning, who or what is the first love of your life? Who or what is the first love of your life? Answer that carefully. I answer that carefully. I've been living with this for days. Who or what is the first love of your life? Who or what you love is what you set yourself toward. You lock into it. You commit to it. You give to it. And here's the bottom line. The two most important things in your life are my life. Are you listening? The two most important things in your life and my life are, number one, to be born again. There's nothing any more important in your life than to know that you've passed from death unto life, that you are born again. But secondly, number two, the most important second thing in your life is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And we find Jesus picking up on that theme over in Matthew chapter 22. When the lawyer came to Jesus and he was tempting him, And they thought they had Jesus in a corner, but everything turned out all right. You never put Jesus in a corner. Amen. The 22nd chapter of Matthew's gospel, the Pharisees, when they had heard of him, they put the Sadducees to silence. They were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, ask him a question, tempting him and saying. Now, my father was a lawyer. Lawyers take a lot of verbal abuse. They give a lot of verbal abuse. My father was a good lawyer. He was an honest, honorable, and a wonderful man. You know, police take a lot of criticism, but the next time you get in trouble, call a hippie. Call a gangster. Call your local drug dealer. No, when trouble comes in your neighborhood or around your house, you call a proper authority. Well, they thought they had Jesus in a corner, and they said, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Now, it's over 600. Some say 630, 633 commandments that our precious Jewish friends think they keep daily. Now, wouldn't that be wonderful to get up and your laundry list in the morning would be 630 some odd things that you had to do that day to make God happy? I mean, you'd never get anything else done. Right? Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Which is the greatest commandment of the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I can't get started on the fullness of this verse, but there's so much truth that is here. He said, on these two commandments hang or hinge all the law and the prophets. You've just read something that is one of the most profound revelations in the entire Word of God. Today we know, after Calvary, the first and the most important thing in your life is to be born again. That's why this church is keeping the main thing the main thing. You're not going to heaven because you're sitting in that church pew this morning. You're going to heaven because you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You're not going to heaven because of the color of your skin or the nation in which you live. You have made a personal decision to trust Jesus Christ. And I don't think it's fully dawned on all of us that every person you meet is heaven or hell bound. That means your present, your precious little aunt. That means your wonderful grandmother. That means, I know I'm getting tender here. Every person in your life. And I'm kind of pressing the point nowadays. They said, well, so-and-so, pray for so-and-so. I said, go to them and talk to them personally. You know, just yesterday, precious young man who was a graduate of our school. Thank God he was ready to go home and be with Jesus. I believe he was 21 years old, Dalton. Contacted a high electric wire in line of his job. 21 years old, graduate of our school. It just seems impossible, but it happened so quickly. Our family's been through that. Joy's youngest brother, Rex, was only 28 years old when a drunk came out of nowhere and hit his vehicle. And Rex lived maybe 48 hours at the most and went on to be the Lord, 28 years of age. Now, there's some things we can't explain. And only God knows all the facts. I remember when a very dear friend of mine, Sam Smith, Pastor Sam Smith, who's going to be with the Lord, when his son died in his sleep. I mean, the guy was a weightlifter. He was in his late 20s, just starting in the ministry and love God with all of his heart, and passed away in his sleep. I mean, this is absurd. It was absurd. Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin and I preached the memorial message on that, and Dr. Hagin brought out a truth from the Old Testament that the secret things belong unto the Lord. And there are some things that are none of our business. Sooner or later, we'll know. We will know. And if we need to know, we will know. And it was a comfort to the fact that all are not raised from the dead. All God's will is for a long life. But there are some things that in the ministry we have no explanation for. You can conjure up anything you want to conjure up, but only God knows every detail about everything. And you know, with God, everything's going to be all right. I said, with God, everything's going to be all right. You can trust God to have a just weight for every balance and for every situation of life. They're just things you can't explain. You do it the best you know how to do, and as close as you can come to it is what Paul said. His grace is sufficient. I know that. And I know the family went through a horrific time, and it had a tremendous effect on the entire family because he was such an alive young man, Joy's brother, 28 years of age. Well, that's not the message, but sometimes I think it's good for us to refer to things like this. We don't know. We don't have all the answer. But I'll tell you what, it does emphasize the fact, let's get busy about doing what we know to do because you don't know that you have a tomorrow. You don't have to be into your 50s or 60s or 70s or 80s to go home and be with the Lord. Every day is a gift from God. Every day is a gift from God. Enjoy it to the full. Use it to the full. And God will bless you. But here's the thing. Again, coming back to what we're talking about. The two most important things in life. I mean, there is nothing any more important than what Pastor Bob Nichols is telling you right now. Nothing in your life, nothing in this world, nothing in the United States or any other country of the world is more important than, number one, being born again. Ye must be born again. Must. Didn't say it's a good idea. Didn't say it's a religious idea. You must be born again. But they're so nice. They're so sweet. They're such a wonderful person. They've done all these good works. All that may be true, but you must be born again. Can't get around it. It's a bedrock fact. It's why Jesus came and died on the cross. Many other benefits flow from that, but thank God when Jesus died on that cross, he died that all of our sins may be forgiven and that we might have life and have it more abundant. But number two, now wait a minute, number two, but what happens after that? If a preacher like me can get to you and tell you the truth, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all that is within you. It's the most important second thing in your life. Not just after you get born again. After I've served God all these years, I feel like there's a new understanding in my heart. Number two, a lot of times I say, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus, thank you. You know what I've been saying for several days? I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Loving God is not a forced thing. It's a flow. It's a natural. It's a given if you'll let it be. It should be natural. It should be a natural flow that we express our love to God. And not as a forced thing, but because we love Him. To love God with all of your heart, soul, your mind. Loving God is not a forced thing, but it's a flow of a thankful heart. It's the flow of a thankful heart. Folks, everything we have, God gave it to us. I said everything that we have, God gave it to us. And you know, this is kind of a tender point, you know, you may understand what I'm saying, but you know, having church and church services, revival and the things of God, it's not a selfish thing just to try to rob your time and rob your family time and rob your personal time. Here's the thing about it, folks. Throughout eternity, nothing's going to make any difference but God. Nothing. I mean, nothing. Nothing is going to make any difference but God. Nothing. Nothing. It's going to be God wall to wall. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen. And we might as well get used to it in this world. And you know, to think that I'm so important, I'm so busy, now, the only way some people can watch this service is by the streaming, and I thank God for that. I know when I've had a couple of three times of little surgery and procedures, thank God I could see what was going on. But folks, why should I begrudge God time in His presence? Why should I not want to be with the corporate body of Christ? You may live next door to me in heaven. We never know. Amen. It's important. You know, I don't have to kiss my wife. I like to kiss my wife. You know why? I hope you know why. Because I love her. Amen. I don't have to hold hands with my wife. We still enjoy holding hands. We didn't get married yesterday. Because we love. I don't have to hug my wife. Don't have to. But I want to. I love to when I can catch her. Amen. She can move quick, I tell you. That girl can move quick. I don't have to spend time with my wife. I choose to do that. I said, I choose to do that. And I pray God that you have a situation that you feel the same way. But after all these years, I do what I do because I love her. I was stopped in Tom Thumb to pick up something the other day on the way home. Product that I think they had more quickly than one or two other places. And I passed by and they had the most beautiful arrangement of flowers there. And I saw some roses. I thought, I cannot pass that by. So it wasn't an anniversary. It wasn't a birthday. It wasn't any special occasion. I just bought some roses because I love her. And your marriage will go better if you'll do the same thing. Amen. I promise you, try it. It works. Praise God. What you spend your time on, what you spend your thought life on, what you spend your money on is your first love. Loving God, loving God because you have set your love. All right, so you say, I love God. But now it goes a little deeper here in this Psalms 91. Because he has set. That's on purpose. That's making a faith quality decision to commit. This is the way it will be. This is the way I will be. This is the way I will act. This is the way I will act. Because he hath set his love on me. Some people love the Lord when they get in church on Sunday morning. God wants you to love him Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. All week long. Not just on Sunday when you have that fuzzy feeling in your heart and the music is so beautiful and it's such a precious time of praise and worship. God wants you to love him more than anything, more than anybody. I love my wife, but I love God most. And I'd feel disappointed if I thought she felt any other way about it from her standpoint. Thank God for one another. But more important than one another is to love God. I love you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for saving me. And not only did he save me, but he has kept me. And he's kept me in rough. You know, I've had a variety of experiences over the years that I've been doing what I've been doing. And I have friends that haven't made it. Even in the ministry, I have friends who have gone on, friends who have made mistakes and failures. I thank God every day. God has kept me. God has kept me. You say, but I failed God. Yeah, but you're here this morning. You say, but I made a bad decision. We all have made some bad decisions, but we're still on 2 feet. We're here this morning. Our sins are under the blood. Our failures are behind us. They're not here to haunt us. They're not here to condemn us. Thank God we've learned, hopefully. I've learned. I've tried to learn. I've watched other ministers like a hawk as a young preacher coming up. I want to learn. When I see someone fail God, I don't want to fail God like they failed God. Learn, be wise, or be otherwise. Love God. More important than me being a pastor. More important than anything that I could do, say, or preach, or any works that could come from Pastor Bob Nichols, is for me to love the Lord my God with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my strength. God deserves the first fruits of our life, not the leftovers. I said, God deserves the first fruits of our life, not the leftovers. The first fruits. The first fruits. Amen. I know we get some things in the fridge and put some things together and maybe stir fry some things or a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And if you're hungry enough, some things taste good that wouldn't taste good ordinarily. But God wants your first, your best. And that's why early prayer is the best. By the time you've read the newspaper, your faith is sorely tested. By the time you do this, that, and something else, then your mind is already wound up in other directions. Give God the first fruits of your day. Amen. That's why we once a year have first fruits. We give something above and beyond our tithe, our offering. We just put a prove me offering out there with God. We put a prove me offering. And I'm telling you, we've seen God work. This church has seen God work so many miracles. Amen and amen. God deserves our first fruits, not our leftovers. But you know, this generation is dumbing down. We love God less. We give God less. We give God less time. We tip. We don't tithe. I'm not talking about all of you. Don't get me wrong. But I mean, you know, I'd rather have a smaller church that loves God, is winning souls, and is a tithing church than have a humongous church and half of them don't tithe and half of them aren't saved. And you're not telling them how to get saved. You're not pressing the point. You're not speaking anything about a separated life or a holy life or loving God. Just love yourself. You feel good. I feel good. We all feel good. So we all just go off on a golden cloud. There's more to it than that. There's more to it than our little cheesy world. God put us here to accomplish something. God put us here to make a difference. I thank God. I thank God. I wished I'd been able to accomplish a lot more than I've accomplished in my life of ministry. But you know, here we are 50 years later. We're still on 2 feet after all the craziness we've been through. We have a Christian school next door that's one of the finest in America. Have one of the most powerful mission television stations in the world. Not too bad a legacy anyway. And a church that's winning souls and not sitting around patting each other on the back, fat and sassy and doing nothing for God. Praise God. At least that's the way I see it. Praise the Lord. But you know, as I looked into the Word of God, Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, do you love me more than these? Do you love me? Peter, how much do you love me? Are you listening to me? Peter, do you really love me? Do you really love me? Do you love me more than these?" You know, I'll tell you, there's one thing I know standing before you today. Whatever I am, whatever I'm not, I guarantee you I love God more today than I've ever loved God. I said I love God more today than I've ever loved God. "Peter, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these fish?" 3 times Jesus asked him the question, "Do you love me more than these?" "Well, sure, Lord." Peter got a little agitated. He said, What's going on here? You just got through asking me that question. Now this is the 3rd time. Not knowing that the cock was going to crow 3 times. Folks, we need to wake up. The clock is ticking. 10 times in Deuteronomy. I was just noticing this past week. There's probably more. I just saw it on the surface checking it out. Of course, Deuteronomy 6:5, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God," you know. But 10 times in Deuteronomy, it tells us, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God." Really, it's a command. But it's a blessing if you do it. Amen. We're to love God more than our home. We're to love God more than our automobiles. We're to love God more than our hobbies. Or anything that... God wants you to have pleasure. God's not against you having pleasure with things in life. He just wants to be number one. He just wants to be number one. So if we love God, we set our love on God. Because He set His love upon me. It's making an adjustment. He set His love. He made a decision. In His heart, He said, "I'm going to start doing what Pastor Bob Nichols said today. Maybe you are already there, but I'm going to purpose to do it in a stronger way. I purpose from this morning forward, I'm going to love God more than I've ever loved God. I'm going to put God first." That's where I'm going today. No condemnation in this message. It's just a truth that God's made real to my heart. I love God, I believe I love God, but I've purposed from this week forward, from this morning forward, I'm going to love God more than I've ever loved God before. In my heart, I've set my love, upon the Lord. I set my love. Now, you see, He'll bless us in every way if we do that, according to Psalms 91, and there's many other portions of God's Word that I could go to. But God desires our first fruits, not our leftovers. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Notice here now in Psalms 91, verses 14 through the end of that chapter. Because we've set our love upon Him, God will deliver us. Whew. I don't know about you, but I get in some jams. I'm not just talking about traffic jams. You get in time jams. You get in people jams. You know, there's all kind of. But it said, God will deliver me. Say it out loud. God will deliver me. Secondly, he sets me on high. God puts me on top of the heap. I said, God puts me on top. Not on the bottom. God brings me out on top. Who was it, Zig Ziglar? You say, I'll see you at the top. All right, I'll see you at the top. God will set me on high. When I pray, God answers my prayers. You say, but it hasn't happened yet. We'll start thanking God. Are you believing, or did you just throw some words up in the air? Are you big enough to trust God's timing? When I was asking God to work that thing out downtown on that property, God said, if you'll just be patient, I'm going to bless 5 other people in the process. You just want your miracle? Are you willing to hold off and let 5 other people have a miracle with you? That makes 6 miracles. Amen. And then there's the humorous thing that I ran across the other day, that Ruth Graham said, thank God for some unanswered prayers, or I wouldn't have married Billy. She had some other dashing young evangelists that she thought should be number one in her life, but that prayer wasn't answered. She said, thank God, God gave me Billy. And of course, they're both in God's presence today. You know, here's another insight. God will be with me in trouble. We used to sing a song, if Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. It's heaven to me wherever I be if he is there. We're all going to get into some trouble. We're all going to get into some kind of a little conflict. I mean, I don't even care to go there. But you can't live your life without some trouble coming. And that's why in Psalms 34, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me out of all of my troubles. Even believers have some troubles. We have some difficult situations to deal with. But he will be with me in trouble. And I love the one that follows that. God not only delivers me, but he delivers me with honor. God knows how to deliver you in honor. When that powerful television station, every attempt in the world was made to steal that station out from under us. In an emerging nation, your options are not always the most positive. You're a stranger in that nation. And we went to that nation, and there was a life threat on me in going. And I talked to Joyce. She said, Bob, we've never accomplished anything by fear or by running from it. She said, you go. God's with you. God will see us through. Amen. But the day came a few years later. I think it was about 3 or 4 years just ago, because we've been on the air 17 years, when I was called back to that nation by the same people that tried to steal it, to honor Dr. Robert B. Nichols as a man of integrity and character, who did the right thing when he didn't have to, who told the truth when he didn't have to, who would not run, who would not quit. The same people that tried to do that then turned around and honored me in a way that I can't think of any honor that's ever been any higher. Some of the leading dignitaries of the nation came and said some very kind things. You say, what's that all about? If you do the right thing and you keep the right spirit, you know, if I went around trying to put out every fire and answer everything somebody has to say, I wouldn't get anything else done. But you know, if you'll just trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding, and all of your ways acknowledge him, he'll not only bring you out, but he'll bring you out with honor. With honor. I said with honor. Hallelujah. Oh, with honor. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. God gives me long life, I'll satisfy him. You know, I've asked God for more years of healthy, productive, anointed life. I don't want to just hang out. Amen. But there are more opportunities today than I've ever. It's amazing. There's so many ways to go. There's so many things that can be done. And I believe finance is coming in to help us to do a greater job. Amen. But God has promised long life. And the final thing that comes in here, God reveals that he's going to show me more about his salvation for me. In just checking out that word salvation, it's one who is saved. Now I know we're saved now by the blood of Jesus, but just stay with me for a moment. Saved, delivered, one who is victorious, one who is prosperous, one who is healthy, one who is blessed. God said, I'm going to show you more. I'm going to show you more about what I've already done for you. That you're not only saved, but you're blessed, you're delivered, you're victorious, you're prosperous, you're healthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No more bad luck. We live blessed. No more bad luck. Hardly anybody says it to me anymore, but I understand that they mean well when they say it. Well, Brother Nichols, take care. Man, I've got enough monkeys on my back without taking care. I don't need that monkey. That's a chimpanzee. That's a gorilla, you know. Oh, take care. No, I'm not going to take care. I'm going to take blessing. I take the blessings of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. All because I have set my love upon him. All because you have set your love on him. You know, we all have things happen in our lives that we don't understand. I could write a book on things I don't understand that have happened to me, even as an ordained senior pastor, minister. All, you know, we all have things that happen. But here's the thing. We're coming out on the high side of victory. It's all going to be all right. God's going to bring us through with honor. Hallelujah. I said, God's going to bring us through with honor. You're the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. And you can shout on that because that's Old Testament. It's better now than it was back then. You'll lend and not borrow. I said, you'll lend and not borrow. If you'll quit spending, it'll come to pass quicker. I said, you will lend and not borrow. Hallelujah. Praise God. But it does come back to this. Who do you love the most? I'll tell you who you should love the most, who I should love the most, to love the Lord thy God. God, I just can't get away from that little song's just been rolling over all those Teen Challenge young people singing, he has been so good to me. He has been, you know, we ought to sing that all day long. He has been so good to me. But we got to singing that last Sunday, break every chain, break every. Some people said, Pastor, do you realize what you started for me all week long? I woke up singing it. I went to bed singing it. I'd wake up in the middle of the night singing, break every chain, break every chain. There's power in the name of Jesus. See when we get in God's gear, it works. When we get in God's gear, it works. Put the clutch in, honey. Quit trying to shift gears without the clutch. Amen. There's power in the name of Jesus. He breaks every chain. He breaks every chain. He breaks every chain. But you see, it's all because we love Him. We love Him. Oh, God, I love You this morning. I love You, Lord. I love You with all my... If I know my heart, I love You with all my heart. And Lord, I purpose to love You with all my heart. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Robbie, I want you and Lauren to come up here this morning. Come to the platform here. Sheila Bokora Kasika Tayasai. Brikise Katora Kasai. Past week, I asked Robert, he's been part-time, asked him to come.